But now let's get a hold of our smooth legislator. This is the state Republican Party chair and Washington State representative from Aberdeen, Grace Harbor County, Jim Walsh. Jim, thanks for coming back on the Morning Ride.
Oh, no worries. So good to talk to you again.
Yeah, how's the weekend?
It's been busy. I was out at Yakima for the state committee meeting for the party, and then we did our action conference, which is a kind of activist training weekend that we do once a year. And that was great. We had a full room out at Yakima at the convention center and had panels and discussions and sort of how to get involved, how to do research on candidates and races and positions, how to get volunteers activated and organized and doing so-called ground game, you know, knocking on doors, talking to people directly. And then we did a panel on kind of campaign finance and the money end of how to raise money for a campaign, whether it's a person running for office, like you were talking about a second ago, or whether it's an initiative, or whether it's a local levy or bond vote, how to sort of organize to win.
Exactly. And that's what's tough. Democrats tend to live and breathe this stuff from the activism phase, and conservatives or Republicans, you know, they tend to want to do stuff with their families and spend time doing that. And that is one of the big distinguishing factors, I think, between Democrats and Republicans in many respects, that kind of ground game organizational stuff tends to come out as a slight advantage for Democrats. But we just got to connect with more voters to talk about these common sense things and expose that, you know, despite the Democrats and their organizational stuff, their ideas just don't work. So electing them, voting for them is just not going to produce results. And we got to have results because we've seen how bad Democrats have managed to make it here around the state of Washington.
So, yeah, especially here in Washington. Yeah. That's really true. And I think we're at that kind of inflection point. And we've been there for a little while, Phil, but I think that we're starting to see just the sort of momentum, that just where people are is shifting more to a common sense place. They've had enough. I think you're right about that.
There we go. So Representative/Chairman Walsh, you got a chance to meet Vice President J.D. Vance last week. How did that meeting come about?
Yeah, I was. I went back to Atlanta for a regular quarterly meeting of the Republican National Committee. So the kind of central committee, the main operating group that makes decisions, policy decisions about what the national party does. As a state party chair, I'm part of that. There's also a national committee woman and a national committee man from each state. And then you toss in a couple of D.C. gets their group, Guam gets their group. It's a total of 168 people, so three from each state or each non-state place. And we have a group that makes the decisions, the sort of big strategic decisions about what the party does. There's a new national chair for a long time, last few years, it's been a fellow by the name of Michael Whatley, very close with the president. And Whatley stepped down in order to run for the U.S. Senate from North Carolina.
Take Tom Tillis' spot?
Exactly.
Yep, okay.
Which is something the president's been very keen on. He and Tillis have not agreed on things.
Right.
And then he was replaced by a guy from Florida, Joe Groters, who's also very close with the president. So that while there was a change in the chair for the National Republican Party, what is consistent is the previous chair and the new one are both very close with the president. So his voice and his interests are heard at the party. And then we had a session, a kind of a lunchtime meeting with the vice president, J.D. Vance, who took a few minutes out to take a picture and speak with the delegation from each state. And so I had a couple of minutes to speak with Vance about what's going on out here in our Washington. Mm-hmm. And And it was really good. I mean, some just, you know, shake his hand and talk about their golf game or something. Ours was very substantive.
Yeah, there's,
I had
there's
my couple
lots
of
to
minutes that I,
talk about.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so we talked about the sanctuary state issue, which he already knew about, of course, and our current governor is really reckless and, in my opinion, politically suicidal commitment to not just to being a sanctuary state, but this hatred that he has for Robert Kennedy Jr. and what's going on at the Centers for Disease Control and the federal health department. And so we talked about that. And, you know, it really is like the attitude that Ferguson brings to these issues, Phil, it's like the Civil War. Now, I don't want to be that dramatic,
yeah,
but
I've seen you use that
neo-Confederate approach. Yeah. I mean, he is disregarding the federal government and federal law and acting as if our state is, you know, somehow separate of the rest of the nation. It really is strange stuff. And so Vance was sort of aware of that. I added some detail to what he knew, and he was very interested in that. We talked about the voter ID initiative, another thing that he knew a little bit about already, but was interested in knowing more about. And that, of course, our initiative, which is out gathering signatures right now, that's IL26-126, voter ID initiative, lines up not exactly, not word for word, but very closely with the president's executive order on a similar matter, mm-hmm. and the work that the president is doing still. There's likely to be another executive order coming out of the White House on election integrity, election reform, that's going to be even closer structurally to what our initiative here does. Now, we still need the initiative. People are asking me, well, if Trump does this new executive order, does that make the initiative moot because his executive order will be almost exactly the same language? And the answer is no, because the executive order from the president is federal. Ours is state. And we want our state law to line up with what would be federal policy on voter ID. So, but Vance wanted to know about that and asked a few good questions about that. And we talked about a couple of other things. We talked about some of these infrastructure grant monies from the federal government that have been tied up, particularly some infrastructure projects that have been funded through FEMA, through the Federal Emergency Management Agency. That whole agency is being reviewed back in D.C., not because of anything out here on the West Coast, but you may remember a few years ago when it was still Biden's administration, there was a big hurricane that hit the Carolinas pretty hard.
Oh, yeah.
And that set of issues back there that involved FEMA money and how FEMA responded and projects even before that hurricane hit that FEMA had been funding for, like, dam building and water flow, you know, levees and things, turned out to be very mismanaged. The allegation is that FEMA was giving money to friendly organizations that weren't doing any work they were supposed to do. So they're kind of reviewing. It was one of the original DOGE projects. They are very closely reviewing everything FEMA's doing, and that has put some funding, some money on hold that was flowing through FEMA. Now, that affects us out here because at various places around Washington, usually around water, around the Columbia River and how it flows, some of the other rivers on the coast, there were some FEMA projects for what they do on the coast we call coastal armoring, basically
kind of preparedness stuff
for floods and tsunamis and things like that. And those projects are also on hold because of the trouble back in the Carolinas. And so we talked about that for a minute and how we, you know, there's some stuff FEMA was doing that was questionable, but these are not. These are good infrastructure projects. So we talked about that, and we talked about a couple of other things, particularly our budget issues here at Olympia and how Ferguson's trying to blame the tariffs for the budget problems on Olympia that are not related, but he's basically trying to blame Trump for his, Ferguson's, bad budgets.
Yeah.
And so Vance is just a very smart guy. And he already knew a little bit about each of these Washington issues, but he wanted to know more. And so rather than sitting around talking about, you know, what kind of cigars we smoke.
Small or talk kind of, stuff, right?
Golf,
he actually got something substantive going.
It was like a policy session, Phil. Yeah. It was very dense.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear, considering what kind of shape Washington is in from Democrats and their influence on this state. You were just referencing the tariff situation. So were you at this Georgia meeting last week while Bob Ferguson was unveiling this Office of Financial Management report on the tariff impact?
I was on my way back.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I was at that press conference anyway, Phil. One of the reporters had gotten.
And I want to bring that up here in just a moment. But let me start off with something that I heard from that press conference with Governor Ferguson last week. And the clip I'm going to play you, I don't know if you've heard it, but this is Washington Treasurer Mike Pelliciotti. And he was talking about how Washington farmers, agribusiness here in the state of Washington, are going to get hit on this Trump tariff because of Canadian fertilizer. Did you hear this clip?
Yes.
Okay, let's play it so everyone else can understand what's going on. Here's your Washington Treasurer, Mike Pelliciotti, last week with Governor Bob Ferguson.
Ellensburg, Ephrata, Pasco, Yakima. The agricultural industry is going to be particularly hit hard as a result of these economic tariffs. And these are folks in central and eastern Washington that are economically reliant on both sides, both in terms of the imports that they have to deal with related to fertilizer costs from Canada, which 90% of our fertilizer comes from Canada.
So I heard that stat. The state treasurer says 90% of Washington farmers rely on Canadian fertilizer. So I wanted to find out, wow, how much would that tariff be? It turns out that if the fertilizer is already handled under the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement, it's exempt. So why is the state treasurer saying that there's going to be a tariff on 90% of the Canadian fertilizer that Washington farmers use when it's already exempt? Can you explain that?
Well, Mike Pelliciotti is a nice enough guy, but he knows as much about farming as Woody Allen does.
Yeah,
he doesn't know anything about farming. And clicking off those cities like he did in that little soundbite, it sounds like Billy Joel's song, "We Didn't Start the Fire." It's a bunch of things he said that aren't really related to each other in any way.
Yeah.
This is a talking point that the left, who, you know, doesn't get out and walk around farms or ranches very much.
I mean, it seems to be blatantly false, amongst other things.
Yeah. Well, it's possible that there's some kind of fertilizer that is not part of that general exemption. I'm sure he could find some example of some very particular thing that would somehow be affected. But generally, you're right and he's wrong.
Okay.
Fertilizer as a whole is exempted from any tariffs.
And that brings us to what you were just referencing about this question that came up at last week's press conference. And it stemmed from Center Square reporter Carlene Johnson asking Bob Ferguson about criticisms you were making regarding some of this tariff impact. And here's Bob Ferguson's response.
What I will say is I'm someone who believes in data and actual numbers and being prepared. And so, look, if the chairman has a critique of the actual numbers, looking forward to hearing that. I'm not hearing that in a statement. He's not challenging the numbers. He's not saying this isn't real. He's not saying tariffs are good for business. If he does, have him come on down to Boon Boon, a coffee shop. I'd invite him to come on down, right? Maybe have a conversation with the folks in our grocery stores who are actually there talking to the customers about what choices they're making in the meat they're purchasing. Maybe have those conversations. Easy to put out a press release and a statement. I get that. That's what he does. I get that. But look, as a governor and as leaders in our communities, right, we need to engage in reality, okay? And reality is what these numbers say.
So Bob Ferguson's reality is that tariffs are prompting grocery stores to close.
Here it is, Mr. Governor. Your numbers are blarney. They're made-up political rhetoric. And I will meet you man-to-man, anytime, anywhere, in front of any crowd you choose, and debate tax policy and tariff policy. Because, Mr. Governor, you are wrong. You know you're wrong. That's why you're so nervous at that press conference. You sound like the child of Jay Inslee and Kamala Harris, offering us word salad about data. Earlier in that conference, Phil, the governor said that the Office of Financial Management, which had produced the report he referenced on the effects of tariffs on Washington State, was nonpartisan. I think he called it bipartisan, which would be a mistake anyway, but they're both wrong.
Okay.
The Office of Financial Management is an executive branch office that works for the governor. It reports to the governor. Its work, which is primarily budget-related, it's true, is entirely partisan. The Office of Financial Management literally writes the governor's version of the operating budget and the other budgets of Washington State. It is completely partisan. The idea that this governor believes his staff who report to him are not politically partisan is laughable. And this report they did on tariffs cherry picks data, uses worst case scenarios of the effects of tariffs. And as you pointed out with Pellicciotti's strange quote a couple of minutes ago, they made assumptions that are just facially wrong about the effects of tariffs. It was a hit piece designed to make federal trade policy sound like the worst case effect on the state of Washington. Now, they're free to do that. They are political hacks working for the governor. But for the governor to pretend these data and numbers are real is a joke, and that's why he sounded so nervous.
Yeah. I mean, I listened to 15 minutes of that press conference last week, and I found another one that I cited on Friday's show that just in listening to the press conference, it made me question, okay, is this accurate? I did a Google search on the other aspect of it. I mentioned this on Friday's show. It, too, seems to be inaccurate based on what Bob Ferguson was laying out last week at this tariff press conference that he had in Olympia. State Representative and Washington State Republican Party Chair Jim Walsh, I got one quick question here. We're getting tight on time. Everyone wants to know, how can I sign Initiative 126, IL-26-126, about proof of citizenship to vote in the state? What's the ability for people to go out and sign that so that we can get that up to a public vote?
Sure. We've been doing great through the summer, a lot of events at county fairs and the like. In the first stages of the signing campaign, we've been focusing on the county parties as the mechanisms for distribution of the petitions.
Okay.
So if you're in doubt, you can contact your local county Republican Party, if it's King, Snohomish, Pierce, whatever it might be, and or you can go to the website wagop.org, and on the landing page there's a link with a bunch of information about the initiative, locations you can go to sign it, or you can just order an initiative petition sheet, and we'll send you one, and you can fill it out and go pick up some other signatures and send it back in. So there are a bunch of ways to get the actual sign sheets for signing the initiative. And remember, on initiatives in this state has to be paper and ink.
Yep.
There are no online initiative signing mechanisms. In Washington, by law, our petitions to support initiatives have to be old school paper and ink.
Hard copy.
So you need to get a sheet.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So wagop.org is one of those sites. Otherwise, check in with your county Republican Party. And folks are intrepid enough to do that with a quick internet search. But that's the way to get your signature on IL-26-126. If you want to get this vote statewide of proof of citizenship to vote here in the state of Washington. Representative Walsh, thanks again for all your extra time this morning. Great conversation.
Always good to talk to you, Phil. Okay. Have a great week.
Very good. You too.